Thank you very much, Austin. Very good singing. Appreciate very much your being here tonight. Appreciate the prayer, Brad. And certainly we're grateful that we can be together this evening. Some of the folks told me this morning they couldn't be here tonight. I think they have some maybe school functions that they have to go to. But we're glad you're here. And it's a joy to be able to speak and speak concerning the Word of the Lord. I appreciate the elders, the good work they're doing here. And certainly for Mike and the great work that he is doing. We're glad that you can be here tonight, and I want to study with you for a few minutes tonight concerning the eyes of God. We're going to look at this in two ways. Number one, what a wonderful thing it is to have the eyes of the Lord over you if you're searching and doing His holy will. But if you're not, you're not in the scope of God's exception, and therefore, we don't want to urge you to think about how awful it'd be to have to stand before God in the day of judgment, knowing that He's seen everything. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that which God can see. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When we look at the standpoint or from the standpoint of what we need today, we need God's guidance. We need His instructions. We need to know what God says. I want to go back with you first of all tonight with an example from 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you have your Bible, I hope that you'll turn over there with me or at least listen to me as I read you a few of these scriptures. The Bible tells us here in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that God had a work for Saul to do, King Saul. But guess what? When God told Saul to go down to the Amalek nation and destroy every Amalekite, He told him exactly what to do. There was no question about the job that he had. God now begins to look and see this man. As He observes him, He goes forth and He's able to overcome the enemy. He's able to destroy all the Amalekites, except in His own mind He decided that He would save King Agag and part of the spoil. That was a tragic mistake, an awful thing for a man whom God said He'd be with and told him He had a mission for him to do and to go and do it. And the Bible tells us that whenever Samuel comes back, Saul is anxious and he said, "Behold, I've done what the Lord hath told me to do." However, the big mistake that he made was he did it because he thought it was right. He did what he did because of what he saw. And then you remember how that Samuel said, "What meaneth then the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the ox? There'd be none." Because God had told him to go down and utterly wipe away all of the Amalekite nation. My friend, there's a verse here you don't want ever to forget. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He needed to know something. Saul needed, and certainly he should have listened to God, because the eyes of God saw everything that he did. And he was rejected from being king. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, here we find the prophet saying, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" And notice too that we find where the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14, the psalmist writes, we can read it, we can see it with our eyes. God says, "Let the words of my mouth," according to the word of the Lord in Psalms 19, the man of God is saying, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Whose side? In God's sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Look what God has promised. If only we'll listen to what He tells us to do And remember, He sees us and He knows us as we are. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Here's a promise that is made. Made to whom? To those who will listen to God. Psalms 32 and verse 8. We need the mercy of God. And that mercy and hope comes from the Lord. In the book of Psalms again, chapter 33 and verse 18. Behold, the Lord, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him and upon them that hope in His mercy. What does God see? He sees everything. What does He want to do to give you and to me those things that we need? And He said, I'll do it. We must never forget how that the Bible tells us through Job in Job 34 and verse 21, for His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all of his goings. God is working out for you and me how that if we'll just put our trust and faith in Him, that we can have that wonderful hope of someday, whenever we put our eyes upon Jesus and be able to hear the Lord say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. You see, God doesn't look upon things as man does. You remember when Samuel was told to go to Jesse's house and there appoint one to be king to replace Saul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, how that whenever this happened, the Bible tells us, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh only outward appearance. But where is God looking? Through the eyes of God. He's looking down upon our hearts. That's why the heart has got to be right with God. We know God sees us as we travel. If we're following the narrow way, He's promised us that the end of the narrow way will be life everlasting. But if we're following the broad way, He has told us what's going to happen. The end of the broad way will lead us to eternal destruction. Enter ye, Jesus said, at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Why can't people see that? Why can't people read that? Why can't people believe that? My friend, because the Bible said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, but there be few that find it. Will that few mean you? Will that few mean me? Will we find it because we've walked how? We've walked the narrow way. We've got our eyes set upon that wonderful crown that God has promised to those who are faithful to the very end. Over at Matt's house this afternoon for a while, we were talking about people that we know that have been baptized at different times in their life. And it was just a thrilling experience to go back and remember people that were in the old building and people in the new building who've been faithful to God, who looked upon God and knew that God's eyes were watching them. And I can remember in the old building where people, you could count on them. They're going to be there. Why? Not because that somebody says that they came, but because they knew the eyes of God was upon them and they wanted to be acceptable in God's sight. We were talking about people that were baptized and some of the experiences that we've had. My friend, I want to tell you, one of the greatest experiences of all is when you meet the Lord on His terms. No wonder the Bible says in John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Why? Because the truth will make us free. Remember in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can see what God sees through His precious word. No wonder we can read in the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can't do anything without God seeing it, without God knowing it. He knows your heart. He sees you. Isn't it wonderful to realize when you're sincere in what you're doing, how that you're walking and serving the Lord and doing the will of the Lord as best as you can. Some of these old timers that we just talked about a little while ago, you know what? You never had to worry about them coming to the assemblies. Why? That was a part of their life. They wanted to do what? Come to worship the Lord. John 4:23-24, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such as the Father seek to worship Him. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. People who are named in the Bible, who are exalted because of the fact that they were walking with God. Noah, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. Noah was spared being overcome by the flood. Why? Because of the eyes of God, through the grace of God, spared his life because he is a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You and I need that. You and I need to be walking in the way of the Lord so that the grace of God will be extended to us. During these troubling days, we need to be assured that God's eyes are surely watching over us. Over in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21, there Paul writes, he says, providing for honest things. What does he mean? God sees everything, so be honest. Don't be untruthful. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. No wonder we read in the Word of the Lord in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, that we quoted a few moments ago. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, but on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Why? Because God sees the heart. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. What kind of heart does he see? Do we really rejoice when it's time for us to go to worship? Do we every day wake up and the first thing we want to do is what? Well, we want to wake up in the morning thinking about God. Why, you'll get on your knees or stand or whatever you do when you pray in the early morning. You want God to see you doing what? That starting out the day with Him by reading and studying. Sometimes it's just a few verses of Scriptures that you're able to read. Hurry in time to go to work or other activities. Make sure that God goes with you by looking at His Word and trusting in Him. Remember in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I like this expression as I was studying for this lesson. I love the expression, as the apple of his eye. Look at it, if you will, in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 10. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste hollowing wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. What does God do? He sees us. Where we are, what we need, and what does God say? God says, I will keep you. You can trust me. Because don't ever forget His promise. You know, some of you are planting a garden already today. In the last few days, perhaps. Some of you are putting out tomato seeds. Please put out one plant. We've moved them. I don't have a place over there where I am now to have a little garden spot. I tell you what, I'm going to need a lot of tomatoes. And I told Matt the other day, be sure you take care to make sure you have one over there for me. It's a wonderful thing to share with others, and you are always so good. As a matter of fact, we got today to take home with us tonight. You may want to go with us. We'll share it with you. But we got already a pound cake and a loaf of homemade bread. Doesn't that really sit down in your office? I tell you what, when people come to me and they'll tell me, we got you something. Well, I don't want to forget that ever. And what a joy it is to know how much you care and how much you love us. I know as we work together for whatever days we have, I used to think of years, but now I think more of days and months. Because after all, when you get our age, there's one place we're looking forward to. And that is to be with the Lord. And one prayer that Ann McDaniel, and she's here tonight, and keep praying for her. One prayer that we have together. You know what? We want to die and be together forever. What would be terrible for your spouse not to be there? Friend, you and I, in order to die in the Lord, we must live in the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to His prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In Deuteronomy 11 and verse 12, there's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. And then back to the one we didn't quote. In Genesis 8 and verse 22, the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The eyes of God will see to that. Because you see, He is eternal. He's made a promise, and He's promised you and I that if we'll be faithful to Him to the very end, there'll be a joyous occasion for us. No wonder in giving to others, God sees that. In Matthew 6 and verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6 and verse 14. In Psalms 121 verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth and even forevermore. Over and over and over, you just see a passage of Scripture that jumps out at us and telling us, look, God's watching over me. He's watching over you. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready to be with Him forever? In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Not just one place, but every place through the whole earth. Three things to remember in the lesson is yours. Number one, God does not want us to perish. The eyes of God is looking after us. He's wanting to bring us finally into that wonderful place called heaven. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. No wonder in Matthew 11 we hear Jesus saying, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take the yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Remember, God does not want us to perish. Secondly, God wants you to love Him, to worship Him. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. And that's why He wants you to worship Him. John 4, 23 and 24. And thirdly, God wants you to talk to Him. Make sure the ears of God hears your prayers. Because you see, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. I don't know how many people told me one of the most consoling things to them is to know that people are praying for us. God said, I will hear as you keep my will. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. If you're tonight, you're not a Christian, won't you obey the gospel? Won't you be baptized this evening? And if you're a Christian but you're not ready to meet the Lord, won't you tonight ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. Just remember 1 Peter 3 verse 12. Means all of us. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto our prayers. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come while together we stand?